take your Bible. I want you to turn this evening to the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter number 22. Tonight we'll study lesson number 30 on the subject of separation. And we're calling it Biblical Separation, lesson number 30. And I speculate we'll have another half a dozen or so lessons at least in this series. Proverbs chapter 22. And once you find Proverbs 22, would you stand with me, please? Proverbs chapter number 22. And then we're going to look at another couple of verses as you're standing. Proverbs chapter 22. I want you to look at verse number 24. The Bible says this: "Make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man thou shalt not go, lest thou learn his ways and get a snare to thy soul." Now, take your Bible and turn to Psalm chapter 37. Psalm 37, and find verse number 8. Psalm 37, 8. Psalm 37, 8. The Bible says this: "Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil." Now, if you look back at me, let me tell you the title. Tonight, we're going to talk about separation from temper. Temper. If you notice there in Proverbs chapter 22, verse number 24, it says, "Make no friendship with an angry man." What is that? That's an act of separation. It says, "With an angry man, thou shalt not go." What is that? That is an act of separation. If you are listening in Psalm 37, verse number 8, it said, "Forsake wrath." What's it talking about? It's talking about leaving it behind or separating from it. I said this in a lesson or two ago. As old-time religion, as old-fashioned Baptists, sometimes we think separation is all about our music or all about our dress or all about worldly styles. But separation, it's in many, many parts of life. There's some parts to separation about you that nobody can even see. There should be separation that's going on in your mind and in your thinking. Tonight, we're going to talk about separation from temper, lesson number 30. And let me pray for us. Father, bless us now. Help me. The sermon is very simple tonight. Father, help its simplicity not to cause us to miss the powerful truth that we need to get this issue of temper, get it right in our thinking, and help our anger, to our personal anger, to be under control, and then help us to know that we shouldn't be associating with those things that create anger or temper that would be a transgression against you. Holy Spirit of God, control the lesson, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, a volcano will burn and boil within itself, and then finally, it erupts. Listen right up this way. That volcano will within itself just get hot, and that lava, then it spews deadly lava everywhere. It spews the lava on itself. It spews the lava on others. And innocent people can be hurt. Things can be destroyed. It can create a chain reaction. And the lava then, though, it may hit a certain part of a mountain or the part of the volcanic area where it is erupted. But then it slides down the mountain and there are other things that are destroyed. And I think that occurrence could easily be compared to a person that loses their temper. Temper is a bit like a violent explosion. The dictionary defines temper as heat of mind or emotion, proneness to anger and passion. Now, there is a thing that has been deemed righteous indignation. Righteous indignation is when we get angry at sin, which affects people. We're not to be angry at people for sin, but we were to be angry at sin for people. This behavior that's called righteous indignation has been abused by many. Many lose their tempers and then call it righteous indignation, when in reality, someone has just lost their temper and sinned. They use the term righteous indignation as a scapegoat or a justification for their misbehavior. Now tonight, I'm not here to discuss righteous indignation. I'm here to discuss the sin of out of control anger, wrath, or rage. We are to separate, as you heard in Proverbs 22:24 and Psalm 37:8, we're to separate from that behavior. That means I am to separate myself from it. And what I mean is, Jeff Owens is to, in his behavior, practice separation with himself. I'm to separate from that behavior within me. But then I'm also to be careful about being around that behavior. So we're going to discuss temper. We're to separate from temper. Now, temper, whether we like it or not, is a result of pride, selfishness, self-centeredness, and a lack of character or a lack of exercising one's character. I probably 3, 4, 5 times a year, that'd be once every 2 months, have an appointment either on the telephone or in person with somebody who needs help controlling their temper. They need help controlling their anger. Now, let me tell you, this evening from the Bible, we'll show you some things about temper, about rage, and I think you should become separated in regard to this. First of all, let's talk about God's description of temper. How does God describe temper? I'm going to turn, I don't know, I didn't count how many verses I have to reference this evening, probably 25 or 30. If you can keep up and you want to turn to them, I'm glad for you to do so. But what I hate to see happen is for me to be reading the scripture and teaching and for you to still be flipping through your Bible and miss completely what I was saying because you couldn't find the verse. So I promise you, once we get there, if you'll just listen to the Word of God, it will help you. And so, God's description of temper, James chapter 1, verse 20. If you can turn there, I want you to. James chapter 1, verse 20. And we're about to talk about God's description. How does God describe this issue of our temper or our anger or man's wrath? In James 1:20, he says this: "For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God." So here is one of God's descriptions of someone that's got anger problems or rage problems or temper problems. He calls it the wrath of man. And notice, he says, the wrath of man worketh not righteousness of God. Now that goes back to a little part of my introduction where I told you there's this thing that people call righteous indignation. And again, I really do believe that that term and an approach to that is, it's abused. People lose their tempers and they exercise rage and then they justify it saying it was righteous indignation. Here the Bible says, "For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God." Let me go on. Temper. Temper's like the explosion of a firecracker. It's like the explosion of a piece of dynamite. Temper is like it's a display or a loss of self-control. God makes a comparison about temper to a heavy stone or sand. Take your Bible and turn to Proverbs chapter 27. Proverbs chapter 27, and we're going to look, once you get to Proverbs 27, I want us to look at verse number 3. Proverbs 27, verse number 3. And the Bible says this: "A stone is heavy, and the sand weighty, but a fool's wrath is heavier than them both." So God compares this out-of-control temper, this anger, this rage, He compares it to a heavy stone, or He compares it to the weightiness of sand. A few of you will remember this. Brother Tyler helped me, I think it was Tyler, helped me with an illustration back when our church building was, we were still on Trent Road. I had Tyler come up on the platform, and I illustrated that verse about the heaviness of sand, and I gave Tyler a 25-pound bag of sand and put it in his arms. I may give him another one. Probably not. I know Tyler well enough. I wouldn't have had to give him 50 pounds. But I had him stand there and hold it, and hold it, and hold it. And it didn't take long until it was overwhelmingly heavy. And God said, an anger issue, or a person that has a wrath issue, that wrath is heavier than a heavy stone, and is heavier than sand. And you say, well, why would that be? Well, part of it is, if you've got a temper problem, it's probably been weighing you down for a while. When Tyler held a bag of sand on the platform, he may have held it for 15 minutes. Well, 15 minutes is nothing compared to some of you and your rage problem, because you've been dealing with it for years. And it's become quite heavy. Matter of fact, it's began to wear down your marriage and wear down your relationship with your children. It will wear down your relationship with the people with whom you work. It becomes heavy. And that's what the Bible's teaching. So when God describes temper, he says that he calls it the wrath of man. He said it doesn't work righteousness. And he says that it's like a heavy stone or heavy sand. Now, go to Job chapter 5, verse number 2. In Job 5, 2, the Bible tells us that, it tells us that temper, rage, anger, it's a killer. It's a killer. It causes death. Job 5:2, the Bible says this. It says, "For wrath killeth the foolish man, and envy slayeth the silly one." Huh. God describes temper as a killer. Temper can kill a man. Well, I think temper could cause a man to kill, but I think temper can kill a man. Even doctors recognize how harsh emotions can affect our health. Fits of temper will affect your heart. Fits of temper will affect your blood pressure and your nervous system. Rage and anger will affect your digestive system and your thinking processes to the point that you could be called insane. Because your temper's out of control. Have you ever heard them in a courtroom setting say, well, he did that and it was temporary insanity? Why? Someone's rage was out of control and it so affected them that they were actually saying they didn't even totally realize what they were doing because of the chemicals in their brain and everything that had kicked in because of this harsh, nasty, violent, out-of-control behavior. And God said, separate from that. Christians should not be guilty. Now, I could understand why the world might have a problem. They don't have Jesus, but we do. And He's our anchor. Temper doesn't have to run crazy like an out-of-control freight train. And if yours is, you've got a problem and you needed to get it under control. You ought to practice separation. Separation. Let's go on. God says anger and temper are signs of foolishness. Proverbs chapter 14, verse number 17. Proverbs 14, 17. Proverbs 14, 17, the Bible says this. He that is soon angry dealeth foolishly. Now, I'm not calling you a fool. I'm reading to you, though, a scripture. And the Bible says, he that is soon angry dealeth foolishly. In other words, your dealings are being, the things that you deal with, you're dealing with them in a foolish fashion. Now, I will point out here in this passage of scripture, it says, he that is soon angry. There are some, your trigger mechanism is just so quick. You can lose it just at the drop of a hat. And you're just quick at losing that temper. Now, I really think God would like us to be slow to anger. A person ought to be pushed and pushed and pushed and pushed and pushed. And then when that emotion of anger comes up, it comes up and it's been thought through, and it's anger at the sin, not at the person. And the Bible says, be angry and sin not. But quick-tempered people were angry and sinned because they behaved foolishly. Now, for some of you, if you don't listen to what I teach you tonight, you will self-destruct. I don't know who you are, but you've got a problem, and you've got to get it under control, or you will ruin your marriage, or you will ruin your relationship with your children, or you're going to get fired from work because you're so quick-tempered, it's pathetic. You'll go to jail someday because a police officer will approach you about something, and when you could have handled yourself right, you won't, and you'll lose your temper. And to be honest, that's why they have, what are those, stun guns? You can be grateful they didn't shoot you with a .357, but they stunned you to put you down because you were out of control yourself. You got to keep it under control. So here, the Bible it says that anger and temper and quick temper, that's signs of foolishness. Foolishness. Now, look at Proverbs 27, verse number 4. Proverbs 27, 4. Proverbs chapter 27, verse number 4 of the Bible, it tells us that, and remember, this is God's description or His descriptions of temper. Proverbs 27, 4, now we're told that this anger problem, it's cruelty. Notice it says wrath is cruel and anger outrageous. Now God said, this problem, your anger, your out of control temper, He said it's cruelty. You're being cruel. Now, when I think of that word cruelty, I go back to what I said all the way in the introduction. I told you temper is the result of pride and selfishness and self-centeredness. I think somebody can have character in life but still have a temper problem. And the problem is they don't use the character that they have to control that emotion. I know people in here that you're very, very capable. I mean, you build businesses and build things, and you're brilliant. Which, by the way, tells me that you have the mental capacity to control your temper if you will. It is not that if you have temper that you're characterless. I know people that have character that still have temper, but they don't use their character to control their temper. So you have the tool. You just got to take it out of your toolbox and use it. It is so quiet in here this evening. All right. So, when God describes temper, He calls it the wrath of man. He says it can kill you, or you'll kill someone because of it. He said it is a sign of foolishness. He said it is a sign of cruelty. Now look at Proverbs 27, verse number 4 again. We were just at that verse. It says wrath is cruel and anger is outrageous. Now He says this temper issue, this anger issue, it's outrageous. And I've tried to maybe word for you what that might mean when it's outrageous. And I think really what God's saying is your temper pushes some people beyond what is a normal level of endurance. Now, we all can put each other on edge a bit, but there are some that are constantly pushing people with their temper to an outrageous level. And if I may, then you push someone to an unreasonable level of endurance. And what do we mean by that? It's repetitive. It's over and over and over and over again. You want one of the best ways to you fix it? You say, well, I said I was sorry. Well, how many times are you going to say you're sorry about the same thing? Get it under control. Say, I can't. Well, I've never read that in a scripture. I'd say the Bible says you can. So either God's a liar or you are. So you're going to have to figure it out. Now, if I were up here throwing a fit right now about Jack Daniels, there are a bunch of you be saying amen. Because we ought to separate from that kind of lifestyle. But this is as much separation as it is that you shouldn't be getting drunk and carousing and going to the bars. It's a part of separation. And every one of us within ourselves have got to learn to separate from the acts of the flesh. that part of us that is carnal, that destroys us and those that we love. Outrageous, the Bible calls it. If you can, take your Bible and turn to Amos chapter 1. Amos chapter 1. It's right after the book of Andy. Amos chapter 1. Amos chapter 1, I want you to look at verse number 11. When I was studying this, I could have taught all night just on this one verse. Amos chapter 1, verse 11, the Bible says this, "Thus saith the Lord, for three transgressions," if you look back at me for a moment, now I'm just about to tell you that God calls your temper problem a transgression. Now, it's a transgression against God and God's Word, but it's also a transgression against other people. Let's try again, Amos 1:11. "Thus saith the Lord, for three transgressions of Edom, and for four I will not turn away the punishment thereof, because he did pursue his brother with the sword, and did cast off all pity, and his anger did tear perpetually, and he kept his wrath forever." Now, here God describes a wrath problem, an anger problem, as a transgression. It's a transgression against God's law. Of course, there's hundreds of verses that tells us we ought to control our emotion, and one of the emotions is that of anger. But I notice there it talks about that this person's anger was perpetually tearing at things. Remember when I told you earlier, there are people in here, your marriage is not going to be destroyed because of adultery. It's going to be destroyed because you will not control your temper. You won't control your temper. You will lose a job, not because you stole from the boss, but you just don't control your temper. And so, the descriptions that God gives us of temper or anger or rage, God calls it the wrath of man. God says it's a killer. God says it is foolishness, it is cruelty, it is outrageous, and it is a transgression. If time would allow, I could go on for the next 25 or 30 minutes giving you all the descriptions that God gives in the Bible about this. Number two, let me give you quickly some of the results of this issue of temper. The results. Proverbs chapter 15, verse number 8, if you've got your Bible open and you can get to it. Proverbs 15, and I said verse 8, I mean verse 18. Proverbs 15, verse 18. We're going to describe the results of temper. And the Bible says here in Proverbs 15, 18, it says, "A wrathful man," and there's wrath or temper or rage or anger. That's what wrath is. "A wrathful man stirreth up strife, but he that is slow to anger appeaseth strife." Now here the Bible says that temper stirs up strife. You say, what does that mean? Temper creates relationship chaos. It stirs things up. It stirs up strife. Let me tell you what happens. You and your spouse had an incident in the past. It's been a long time ago. But you, can I tell you what can cause that thing to resurface very, very quickly? One of the two of you, you lose your temper, you get out of control, you stir up those things that have settled. But because you are one of anger, you stir them up, and now you're not only fussing about the moment, but you're dragging up everything from the past. You've stirred it all up, and now you got an issue that is far bigger than the moment because you couldn't control yourself at the moment. Is this true? It's very realistic. What are the results of temper? It stirs up strife. Listen, if you were listening to that verse, it said a wrathful man stirreth up strife, but he that is slow to anger appeaseth strife. Do you know what that means? That means if somebody is slow to anger, they can calm things down. Now, you give me two people that are quick-tempered, you got a problem. Two people, you got a problem. If they're both hotheads and they're both quick to lose it, you've got a problem. We can only but hope that somebody practices some patience and some self-control. Now let me tell you, you say, yep, and I'm glad my spouse is the one with the self-control. You could drive them too far and too long, and I'm not justifying. Somebody's going to go home tonight, that's right, Pastor said, I've just had it with you. And I'm not justifying that, but I am telling you, you can push and push and push and push, and there's somebody that absorbs and holds a relationship together. I had a man that was so mean and rude to me, and I worked. And I mean, for years, he would just rub me raw, and I was always patient. And I'll never forget it. And one day he said to me, he said, "You know, we really have a good relationship." And then he said something curt to me. I said, "Well, it's not because of you." He got so angry. I couldn't believe it. I'm thinking, I only with 5 words told you what I've been living with for 10 years. It's not because of you. You wear me down. You wear me out. But let me tell you, the Bible makes it pretty clear. You and I, if we're not careful, we stir up that strife. But if somebody can be patient and control, they minimize. They minimize. Now, but let's go on. Temper stirs up strife. And now, Matthew chapter 5, verse number 22. Matthew 5, 22. We'll see something about temper here. Matthew 5, 22, it says this, "But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment." Now here God is telling us that anger and temper can bring judgment. And so you know, boy, there's a variety of judgments. And here it said, angry with a brother without a cause. You say, well, I had a good cause for my anger. I'm sure you did. I'm sure God has good cause to be angry with you. You say, well, mine's justified. God could kill you today without batting an eye and be totally justified in doing so. You might want to really calculate how justified your cause is. If we could do this, and we can't, but it would be fun if we could. If I could go to all the married couples and find out what you fought about last. Was it a piece of toast? Was it about a 2-minute lapse of time that didn't go quite right? Was it about a sock? Really? What was it about? Who's justified? The one that is justified in exercising wrath toward man is a holy God. And if you'd take a good long look at you, you probably don't have a whole lot of justification to be losing your temper with anybody. Because the very thing that you're mad at them about, you were guilty of last go around. Or worse. Or with someone else. I feel very lonely up here. We need to move on. Let's see if I can find something happy to say. Nope. There's not a thing in my notes that lends to that. Okay, let's move on. So what are the results of temper? It stirs up strife. What happened? It brings judgment. Proverbs 19, verse number 19. If you can turn to it quickly, let me show you something. Proverbs chapter 19, verse number 19. What else about this? What happens with temper? The Bible says one who demonstrates temper frequently is going to need people to be bailing them out all the time. Proverbs 19, verse number 19, it says, "A man of great wrath shall suffer punishment, for if thou deliver him, yet thou must do it again." And here, basically, you're being told if someone's got great wrath, if you've got repetitive temper problems, others are going to have to bail you out. Okay, that could be if you want to talk about jail, when we talk of bail, if you got a temper issue, you're going to get thrown in jail and somebody's going to bail you out. And then what's going to happen? If you don't learn your lesson, you're going to get thrown in jail and then somebody's going to have to bail you out. But I don't think about jail as much as I think about how people are emotionally bailing you out in relationships, so you got to stay married. But this lesson's not about marriage. Let's go on. Proverbs chapter 14, verse number 17, and we've kind of alluded to this already, so we'll hit it and run. But Proverbs 14, 17, it says this, "He that is soon angry dealeth foolishly." So, when we're describing the results of temper, it stirs up strife, Proverbs 15, 18. Temper brings judgment, Matthew 5, 22. Someone will have to bail you out continuously if you have a big temper problem, Proverbs 19:19. Now here the Bible tells us temper reveals your foolishness, Proverbs 14:17. It's pretty rare that you're ever going to find anybody who loses their temper, that their temper is not associated with words. And the Bible says, though, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. So you got a heart issue going on. Now, I would also say, God is saying there's got to be some foolishness somewhere in the roots of that. You're revealing your foolishness. Turn to Proverbs chapter 15, verse number 1. In Proverbs 15:1, the Bible says this, it says, a soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. So here's what I want you to know, that anger triggers the temptation of anger in others. Unless somebody's got some self-control, one anger plus no anger so often can equal two angers. So not only are you angry, if you don't get it under control, you're going to create other angry people around you. I'll help some of you parents. You ladies that lose your temper, and you're angry all the time at your husband in the presence of your kids or out of their presence. Or you dads, husbands that are angry at your wife in the presence of your kids, don't be shocked if you don't end up with some kids that are angry at somebody. Maybe you. So be careful. Anger triggers the temptation of anger in others. And we're to separate from that behavior. One last point, although it's got 8 subpoints. Let me talk to you about God's plan to help prevent temper. What can we do to help ourselves to separate from this weakness of the human race? And so, you know, if you say, well, Pastor, I'm feeling real guilty right now. Everybody is. I would say 98% of the people in here are saying, I do have a problem with this. And then 2%, they're the ones that are asleep. Right. So the first thing we talked about was God's description of temper. He said it's the wrath of man. It's a killer. It's a sign of foolishness. It's cruelty. It's outrageous. And it is a transgression. The results, it stirs things up. It brings judgment. You have to constantly have someone run to your aid to bail you out of the messes that you create emotionally and relationship-wise. God said you are revealing foolishness in your heart, and then your anger will develop anger in others. Now, what's God's plan to help us to prevent our temper? Proverbs chapter 14, verse number 29, if you can turn to it. Proverbs 14:29. The Bible says this, he that is slow to wrath is of great understanding. Now, first of all, let me tell you that understanding will help you with your temper. You say, now, is this saying that someone that is slow to wrath gets understanding? Or is this saying that someone of understanding is slow to wrath? Well, it really does not matter, because we're going to the same final destination either way. But let me tell you, well, Pastor, how can I get great understanding about this temper problem? By listening to a sermon like this and taking it to heart and not sitting there and saying, I hope my wife's listening. I hope my husband's listening. You missed it, didn't you? You were so consumed with the other person that you didn't get God was trying to give you understanding. Did you know I can't get understanding for Mrs. Owens and she can't get understanding for me? I'll have to get understanding for me and she'll have to get understanding for her. If I'm busy dissecting her spiritually while the preacher's throwing a fit, then I just missed it myself. So get understanding. You listen to a sermon like this. You know what I do? And I say this, and people, they don't listen. They probably think it's just something that preachers say. If I had a temper problem, I'd leave this service. I'd go over to the sign-up sheet. I would buy this CD, and I'd listen to it about 100 times. You say, why? Right now, we need the money on those CDs. But honestly, I would get the verses. I'd outline it. I'd figure it out. It could It could be the death of your marriage if you don't get it cared for. But God said, get understanding. It's going to help with that wrath. Look at Proverbs chapter 15, verse number 1. Proverbs 15, verse 1. Let's read it out loud together if you're there. Ready? Proverbs 15, 1. A soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. All right? So, I need to get understanding. What else could I do? Speak softly. Just speak softly. Some of you need to learn to turn the volume down when you talk.
But I can't express myself well enough that way.
Turn the volume down. Did you know you can say the same thing without screaming? And then the neighbors won't hear. Just speak softly. I have a friend whose wife has undergone 3 vocal cord operations. She can't control herself. She screams at her husband and screams at her children. 3. Seemed like we'd learn. The doctor told him, said, next one, she's going to lose her voice altogether. And he was going, hoping that if a face would make her lose her temper, maybe we could kick this thing out of existence forever. How do we prevent temper? We get understanding. The Bible will give you understanding. We speak softly. Turn to Colossians chapter 3, verse number 8. Colossians 3, 8. This one here, to me, just clears it all up, but I have to have at least 40 minutes worth of lessons. So, Colossians chapter 3, verse number 8, the Bible says this, But know ye also, put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. You say, what's this solution? Just obey the Bible. You know the Bible says you're not to lose your temper? Obey. Now that's what we tell our children, right? You say, well, I don't totally understand. Well, when my kids were growing up and I said, be quiet, you know what I meant? Be quiet. Sit down meant sit down. Stop doing that meant stop doing that. Some of you say, that's the way you rear kids. Well, God told you to stop losing your temper. Get it under control. So, if I want help to prevent this, I get understanding, I speak softly, I simply obey the Scripture. Galatians chapter 5, verse number 16, and I bring this into about everything because I believe it's a powerful, powerful deterrent. The Bible says, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. I've never seen anybody inappropriately lose their temper that was walking in the Spirit at the moment. That misbehavior is an act of the flesh. And so if you're walking in the Spirit, you're not going to fulfill the lust of the flesh. You say, what's the lust of the flesh? To get angry and yell and scream. Let's go on. Romans chapter 12, verse number 18, another solution. Romans 12, verse number 18, the Bible says this, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Now here's what I think. I think the Bible's teaching you to be a peacemaker. I think if you want to be a peacemaker, you're less apt to be losing your temper and rage. Now it says here, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Did you know that I could want to live peaceably with Chris? But if he doesn't want to live peaceably with me, I'm going to do my half. Now, I can't make him be peaceable, but I could be peaceable. Now, if he doesn't want to be peaceable, that does not justify me no longer appreciating or wanting peace. I should still want it. See, he's got a rage problem. That doesn't justify me having a rage problem. He's got an anger problem. That doesn't justify me having an anger problem. But as much as is possible, I'm going to do my part to be a peacemaker. And if you'll be a peacemaker, it will calm your anger or your rage problem. Look at Romans chapter 12, verse number 19, and I'm hurrying. Romans 12, 19, it says, "Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord." I think most of the time when people are angry and they have rage and they've lost their temper, it's an act of vengeance. It's a way to strike back. I'm going to get even. I'm going to take my shot at you. So leave vengeance to the Lord. It'll help your temper problem. Look at Proverbs chapter 19, verse number 11. Proverbs 19, verse 11. The Bible says this: "The discretion of a man deferreth his anger, and it is a glory to pass over a transgression." What is this talking about? I think God's telling you that sometimes you just need to look over certain mistreatments in life, and you just won't get angry about it. Say, what do you mean by that? Sometimes just take it. Say, well, I deserve better. Well, really, you deserve hell. So since you brought that up, I should let you know that God puts up with an awful lot from us. An awful lot. And He's holy and pure. So if you want help with your temper, get understanding. That comes from the Scripture. Speak softly. Obey the Scripture. Walk in the Spirit. Decide to be a peacemaker. Don't seek vengeance. Overlook some of the issues of life. Now, Isaiah 26:3. We've got two verses and we'll be done with this lesson. Isaiah 26, verse number 3. The Bible says this: "That will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee." I think this: God is promising perfect peace. Now, I like peace. And I think peace is what we're going to get if we can do away with this inappropriate rage and temper and anger. See, where can I get peace? I think it's telling us that it's available because we trust God. Somehow, our rage, our anger, is probably an evidence of lack of faith. We don't trust that everything's going to turn out okay for us. And that's a pretty big deal to us. We want to make sure that we are taken care of. I want to make sure I'm not shortchanged. And you offended me. And somebody's got to take care of this. And I'm going to do it because I don't trust God to take care of me. So I'll take care of it myself. And I'll even sin if I have to get it done. That's just my take on that verse. Turn to Proverbs chapter 22, verse 24 and 25, and then we're done. Proverbs chapter 22. Verse 24 and 25, Proverbs 22, 24 and 25, it says this, Proverbs chapter 22, verse 24 and 25, "Make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man thou shalt not go, lest thou learn his ways and get a snare to thy soul." If you want another little tool to help you to not have a temper issue or an anger problem, I would say this: you want to stay away from people that have that type of a behavior. To every unmarried man, young man, every unmarried young lady, I think God is recommending that you not fall in love with and marry someone that's got temper issues. If you'll listen to your pastor someday, I may be dead and in heaven, but you'll look back and say, "I remember the night that he said that, I was careful of it, and I'm glad." Because if you don't listen to me, even if I'm dead and in heaven, you'll say, "I wish you would have listened." Now, I can only help the ones that are not married. Because some of you have already married people, and they don't control their temper, or you don't control yours. Now, there seems to be some captivity right there. What are we going to do? Straighten it up, knock it off, and stop living in sin. Because I'm just sure. And out there in radio land, people that will listen to this, there's people going, "Now what do I do? I wish somebody would have told me that a long time ago." Well, it's too late, man. You're in. So what do we need to do? Live right. And that's what church teaches you, to live right. Again, if I was preaching and screaming and swinging from the chandeliers, preaching against rock and roll and adultery, there'd be people just shouting to beat the band. But this is one of those things that everybody needs to learn. And it's a part. This is as much a command of God in regard to separation as is, don't go dancing down at Joe's Bar and Grill. This is separation too. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. We'll have an altar call. If you need God to help you with a temper issue, maybe you need to come to the altar. One of the things I fear when I teach things like this probably made somebody mad at me. You say that what you said irritates me. If that's the case, you really do have a problem. You really need to get some help and get it taken care of. It's just what the Bible says.